I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Story time.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'd like to share an encounter I had in 2005 or 2006. I was 10 or 11 years old at the time, and it happened on my grandparents' property. Out in the country near Denmark, which is southeast of Green Bay. The land out there is a lot of farmland, with patches of woods. My grandparents own a few acres of land, and on the far right corner of their yard, there's a thick patch of woods and swamp that goes on for a bit before hitting another farm field. I was standing on the back deck, shooting cans with my BB gun. It was a hot and muggy morning in July, and all morning outside I just had a really eerie feeling that I couldn't shake. It was like I was being watched, but every time I'd look around the yard I never saw anything. I just kept going back to shooting cans when I felt the feeling again. I started scanning the tree line of the woods this time, and that's when I saw it. It was standing next to a tree, and it was absolutely massive. When I got older, I went back to that tree and tried to get an estimate on the height. I'd say it was 7 to 7.5 feet tall. The only way I can compare the body is to that of Arnold Schwarzenegger's. It's unreal how big its shoulders, arms, and chest were. It was covered in gray fur, that was really shaggy and thick on its shoulders and down part of its body. I know when people describe dogmen, you hear a lot of, it looked like a timber wolf standing on two legs, or, it had the head of a German shepherd. This was not that at all. The head and face looked like a werewolf. It had pointed ears on top of its head. Its eyes were yellow and almost seemed to glow even in the daylight. And it was snarling with its lips open, and it almost seemed to be smiling. The look and smile on this thing's face was pure evil. Sinister is the only way I can describe it. I don't recall if it had a tail or not, and I feel like the legs looked like that of a human's, and not bent like a dog's. However, I was mostly looking at the head or body. After what had to be only about 10 seconds, but it felt like hours, without warning it broke eye contact with me, and took off sprinting to its right. It went through some really thick brush, emerged farther down the tree line, and took off into the woods. The thing is, no person could clear what it cleared in the time that it did. It was seconds that it ran probably a good 50-60 yards, and it was all thick brush through there. Being absolutely terrified, I went back in the house and didn't go outside the rest of the day. Funnily enough, my aunt came up to me later and said, "I heard some strange things outside last night. I've been meaning to tell you, but I didn't want to freak you out." I didn't tell her what I saw, thinking she'd think I was crazy or making it up. But I insisted she tell me. She said she heard a loud growling and snarling walking around the house the previous night, unlike anything she's ever heard before. I still visit my grandparents quite often, and haven't seen anything since. I haven't heard of any other reports from the area, but I know there was a Bigfoot road crossing just down the road back in the 60s or 70s. I should start with a bit about myself. I'm a guy in my 20s. I'm quite tall, 193 centimeters, 6 foot 4, and train kickboxing. Besides, my career choice is quite physically straining. I'm a vet student. There isn't much that scares me, and I'm usually an intimidating dude. My university is on top of a hill and outside of town. From my dorm window on the 7th floor, I can see huge wheat fields and the nearby forest. My first encounter was last year. I have a German Shepherd Hades and a Husky pup Ragnar. That day I left university quite late. It was already dark outside. Usually, I don't mind taking them out at night. At night I can let them run without their leashes. They are trained, and I know they are going to listen to me. Besides, I knew everyone knew them and wouldn't hurt them even if they were left outside. They have collars that light up since Hades is fully black and Ragnar is fully white, which makes it hard to see him during the winter. I could see them all the time. We walked for a while, and they were playing and running around. At some point, Hades stopped and started growling, looking into the wheat fields down the hill. I didn't think about it. There are bats, owls, and other critters around us. I leashed them, not wanting to run after them if they decided to chase something. After half an hour of non-stop growling, I had enough of it and decided to take Hades home and go out so Ragnar can run a bit more. I got home and expected him to go in his cage. He likes sleeping there, and I never lock them. That night, though, all he did was stand on the window looking out. Since the pup was whining wanting to go out again, I tried to drag Hades in the cage and lock him in until I got back. Who knew, maybe he might try going out the window. I got a look out the window. On the parking below, I saw a black figure circling the cars. Thinking that it might be someone trying to steal, I got a flashlight and shone at it. It wasn't a thief. It wasn't human at all. It looked up, its eyes reflecting the light from the flashlight. It was black, its head looking very similar to Hades. It was standing on all fours, but when I shone the light, it stood up. The roofs of the cars were barely reaching its midsection. It let out a growl, which I later learned that many of the tenants have heard. Hades went wild trying to bust out of the cage. Ragnar was whining even louder. I realized he didn't want to go out, he was trying to get as far away from the window as possible. The growl made me flinch, and I dropped the flashlight through the window. I tried to see it again, but it was too dark. I heard the crunching of snow as it left. The next morning I went to find my flashlight and found huge dog-like footprints in the snow and a foul smell still lingering. I borrowed infrared binoculars from a hunter friend of mine. Ever since then I have seen it four times in the forest, twice crossing the field and once come near the hill looking up. I and my roommate have been taking turns keeping watch at night when Hades starts growling. I don't take the dogs out at night and Ragnar doesn't play and run around anymore. He just stays pressed against my feet. I hope he grows out of it. This happened about 14 years ago. My boyfriend and I went to a graveyard one night because he had told me a story about how he had seen something there. He didn't really want to take me, but I insisted. He said that he had heard stories about the place, and if you go there and sit every night, you'd eventually see it. He said he had finally seen the thing himself on the third or fourth consecutive night he visited. And it was man-like and gray, but he had only caught a glimpse of it and never went back afterward. I remember him saying he had car trouble when it appeared also. Well, I couldn't resist, I wanted to see it for myself. On the third night we saw it. We were sitting in the dark with the moon being the only source of light, man. We were dumb, and we both suddenly got creeped out for the first time since we had been visiting the place. We changed our minds about the whole thing and decided to leave and never come back. But lo and behold, the car, my car that has never had any trouble before, and not again for years after this incident, wouldn't start. My boyfriend was driving that night and kept trying, and it did eventually start up. When the headlight came on full force, we saw it standing right in front of the car. It was about 7 feet tall, and it was gray. In fact, it looked like a moving statue to me. It was kind of bent over, just looking into the windshield at us, and we were freaking the hell out. Finally, it kind of shifted and the car started. The thing darted off to the left so quick, I knew that if it came to the side windows, we'd both be dead within a minute. It was so fast. But it just stood to the side of the car watching us as we drove away. The cemetery was laid out where the gravel road, old country cemetery, went around the whole graveyard in a circle and looped back around, so the entrance is also the exit. We were spinning tires and slinging gravel the whole way around, but when we passed the place where the thing was, it hadn't moved. It had been standing there watching us go around the gravel circle, and it let us leave. But it was looking directly at me. The passenger side of the car was facing it, and I couldn't really make out any features because it was dark. But I was overcome with the most severe depression I've ever felt in my life in that moment when I was looking back at the thing. It was like everyone and everything I cared about in my whole life was burned right before my eyes. The pain and hurt was almost tangible, and it took my breath away in that moment. That night, when I was home and finally able to somehow sleep, I had a dream that the thing was calling to me from that graveyard, begging me to come back. It was harmless and miserable, stuck in that old cemetery forever, and it was alone, so alone. When I woke up, I was determined to go back to find the creature, but before I could even tell my boyfriend, I got calls from him and two of my best friends. All three of them had nightmares where the thing had brutally murdered and mutilated me. The two girls who called me didn't know anything about the graveyard incident the night before. It was so late when I got back home, I didn't tell anyone about it. Just went to bed. My boyfriend dreamt that I had gone back to the place because I felt bad for it, so he drove out there after me. When he got there, he found the thing ripping me apart, tearing me open. For a long time I had dreams about it saying, "I won't hurt you, please come back and help me, I am suffering." And for a while I had to fight the urge to go back, even after three people told me about their nightmares where I die. The pull isn't strong at all anymore. I guess it faded with time and kids and adulting. But I do think about it often, and I do kind of get a little itch just to drive through, and I don't know, it would be dumb as hell, but there's always been a little nagging voice that whispers about the thing we saw that night. It had a masculine physique, but no genitalia, and its eyes were completely black, no iris or pupil or anything, just black inky nothingness. I've been searching all these years, but the only pics I've seen that look even remotely like it are Wendigos, but not the ones with fur or antlers, just a grayish humanoid sexless thing. The best way I could describe it actually is, it looked like a statue to me. Does anyone have any ideas what this might be? It's bugged me for damn bare 2 decades, and any suggestions will be appreciated. Throwaway account made by a concerned mother. We live in a small town considered semi-rural over an hour outside Houston, Texas. My son is 14, his two best friends 13 and 14. They are country kids who fish and explore the creeks around our neighborhood almost as much as they play video games. They are into fishing, camping, bushcraft, just really outdoorsy teens who keep out of trouble and go fishing a lot. Good, honest kids. Our neighborhood is about 150 acreage home sites, with the smallest being 1 acre, and the largest around 20 acres. Lots of woods, tall pine trees, and creeks. The neighborhood is basically surrounded by wooded floodplain where nothing can be built and lots of intertwining creeks that flood in heavy rains. There are literally thousands of deer. Soil is sandy loam and height above sea level, might be 600 feet, so no caves that I'm aware of. Around 2 months ago, my son came home and told me he had seen a glimpse of something in the woods. All three boys were at a part of a creek they had not frequented much before. My son glanced up and saw the nude, unusually light grayish-skinned back of an extremely thin humanoid. It seemed to be 4 or 5 feet tall and moving away from them, slouching, moving in a weird, distinct way, and on all fours with really long arms. He directed his friend's attention to it, but it was just a glimpse as it moved away from them behind some brush next to a large, thick old tree, and just seemed to be gone. They didn't hear it move off or see anything else. The reason he felt comfortable telling me is because I had already warned him that there were things living in the woods that we share this planet with. My great uncle, who lived to 83, spent his entire retirement deer hunting, with little more than binoculars on his property in north central Texas. He clocked literal decades sitting in tree stands in the woods, and once I was in my early 20s, he told me there were things in these old woods we don't even know about, but they're there. I'm certain he had seen things or creatures. I passed the verbal knowledge and warning on to my outdoor loving son around age 12, in the hopes it would help him stay calm and not fear nature forever after if he ever saw anything in the woods. Today my son and 13-year-old friend were back fishing the creek, just the two of them. They had been exploring in the sandy creek bottom, crouched over looking at things in the water. They got hungry, so they packed up their small gear items, minnow net, Easter candy trash, to head home. My son stood up while putting on his day pack and locked eyes with this gray-skinned thing that was watching them. It was peeking out from behind a tree, and as my son saw it, he said it ducked its head behind the tree impossibly fast. My husband and I were outside our house when he rode up on his bike. The creek area is accessible from one of the neighborhood cul-de-sacs. His pants were fully drenched, and he looked like he had fallen in or scrambled through the water and sandy banks pretty good. I sent him in to shower, suspecting nothing and kind of distracted by my need to begin preparing Easter dinner. Later, when it was just us, he told me what had happened. The thing was watching my kid. My only child. He had told his friend that he had just seen it watching them, and they immediately left the creek area, his friend clearly being able to hear the truth in the tone of my son's voice and not wanting to stick around. But yet again, he described it as looking to be 4 or 5 feet tall, and he said it looked like it had no mouth. It is small enough that it hasn't terrified him, just kind of disturbed him. All three boys have told me the creek in that area feels creepy, but being teenagers, they seem to get curious again, overcome their hesitations and go back, even though I request they fish elsewhere. Looking for some serious input here. Are these things dangerous? Hey everyone, I just wanted to get some opinions. To start off, I live in a rural part of East Tennessee. The closest grocery store is about 20 miles from here, and I am pretty much surrounded by farmland. The area I live in has been known for decades for being haunted. Well, to cut the long story short, the land behind my house is all farmland. For the past few months, I have been going outside at night to water my garden, and I can hear strange noises coming from the field behind my house. I've heard what sounded like a woman screaming, I've heard someone saying hey, and I even thought I heard my mom say my name from the field before. My husband has heard a voice say his name on multiple occasions, but last night, my dog was barking and growling like crazy, so my husband went outside to look around to make sure nothing was out there. He said he heard what sounded like a baby crying in the field, but he said it sounded very distorted and definitely not human. He ended up coming back in, and we went back out to listen, and the noise had stopped. I am not sure what's going on. We live on Indian burial grounds, and the whole area I'm in is basically an Indian burial ground, so I've heard. My husband is half Cherokee, and he said he just has a feeling it may be a Wendigo or Skinwalker possibly. I just wanted to get a few opinions on what it could possibly be because it seems like it's getting braver. I know I could write it off and say it's just a mountain lion or something like that. But it's saying mine and my husband's name on different occasions makes me believe it's obviously not an animal. Has anyone else in Tennessee had an issue like this, or just anyone in general? Oh, and I almost forgot, this past winter we had a few deep snows, and one morning when I went out to the backyard, I saw these prints that looked like the toe part was a goat hoof, and the back was like the back of a high heel shoe. The print was about a foot long. Not sure what that could have been. I recently started listening your podcast after looking for information on Bigfoot in South Dakota. You asked for real life encounters. I hope this fits the bill. My family had a scary confrontation in 1992 while RVing. We camped near Wind Cave National Park several times while I was a boy, but stopped going in that part of South Dakota after our experience with something unknown. We normally camped in the early summer, but for whatever reason my father decided we'd go a few weeks before I went back to school. We always enjoyed going into Wind Cave and would spend a full day there. We'd then spend the rest of the week around the RV campground. This particular year we camped further away from Wind Cave in the vicinity of Hill City, not far from Mt. Rushmore. The area was surrounded by thick pine forest and very rugged. It was a Saturday night and very calm around our campsite. Many people had left during the day, so there were few kids running around. Around 10:30 p.m. I decided to go to bed. I was bored and my parents were entertaining another couple. I lay down and turned the radio on while I drifted to sleep. The only thing I remember next is my mother making lots of noise while inside the RV. I sat up and watched my father looking for something in a storage bin. The next thing I noticed was him holding his pistol. I was wide awake now, wondering what was going on. I started to ask, but was quickly told to be quiet by both of them. They were standing by the door when suddenly something slammed into the back of the RV. I thought someone had hit us with a vehicle. The window in the back was smashed and the curtain was on the floor. I moved towards my parents when again something slammed into the back of the RV. At the same time, a deep rumbling sound came from the same direction. I never thought my mother could scream so loud. My father raised the pistol and fired through the window opening. We waited quietly for something to happen. Whatever it was must have run off. By that time, someone was yelling from outside wanting to know what was going on. I think it was someone from the campground. My father went outside to talk to whoever it was. My mother was very scared and was visibly shaking. She just grabbed me and squeezed me tight. My father came back into the RV and said that we were leaving. He grabbed whatever gear was outside, threw it in the RV, and we were off. none of us talked much as we drove home, which was about a 4-hour drive. A few days later, my mother told me what happened that night. My parents were just about ready to go to bed. She said it was about 11:45 p.m., and she was cleaning up outside when she noticed something large on two legs run from behind the RV into the forest. My father told her that it was probably a bear. Then he saw it duck out, and then back into the woods. There wasn't much light other than that from a lantern, and the back window from inside the RV. He told her that it was no bear. By that time they were in the RV, and heard deep guttural grunts coming from the creature. My father then slowly opened the door. It was standing no more than 10 feet away looking directly at him. He quickly slammed the door shut, and went looking for the pistol. My father has never said much about whatever it was, but from his later descriptions I believe he confronted a Bigfoot. He described it as covered head to toe with thick dark hair with a wide nose and piercing yellow eyes that glowed in the light. He estimated the height at over 6 feet, and that it weighed over 400 pounds with huge arms and legs. That's basically all he ever said. He refuses to talk to anyone else about it. We continued camping over the years, but we never went back to that area. I was looking for Bigfoot reports from South Dakota, and especially around the Mount Rushmore area. When I was a kid, we lived in a house tucked away, surrounded by woods and farmland, and we started seeing a spirit or skinwalker, still not sure which of my older brother. Only my mom and I would see this thing, and it was identical to my brother. The first night I saw it, I also woke up later to my name being called. My stepdad and brother had experiences, but never saw the apparition the way my mom and I did. There was something always unsettling about those woods. I always felt watched and unwelcomed, and I don't feel that way in any other woods that I go in. If you walked a ways through the woods, you would come out to my grandpa's house and farmland on the other side. We moved to a different county for about a year with no experiences. Then we moved back to the mountain and built a new home on my grandpa's land. Behind that house was woods that connected to our first home, and not a moment too soon of being back, my brother's doppelganger was back too, and caused lots of mischief, but was never mean. But those damn woods still just felt forbidden. My cousin now owns the house and says crazy things still happen. I made an account literally just to post this because I have no clue what is going. I live in central northern Massachusetts in the middle of the woods, but not too far from the center of town, maybe about a couple of miles. For the past few months, my family and I have become convinced our house is haunted, but I wasn't really bothered by it. Whatever it is isn't too much of a nuisance and hasn't done anything to harm us, so we don't really mind. It has mostly just been apparitions, things turning on their own, and our pets getting spooked by nothing. That was until the more physical things started to happen, and I'm not sure if they are somehow connected to the peaceful presence in our house. About a month ago, I was up late around 3 a.m. watching YouTube. It was warm out, so I had my window open along with the curtain. Suddenly, I heard what sounded like a grown man angrily scream right in our yard. My heart literally dropped, and I was frozen in fear. Like I said before, we're in the middle of the woods, and there are only a few houses around us. No one would be screaming in our yard at 3 a.m. I laid there for a few minutes listening for anything else, and I even rewinded the video I was watching to make sure what I heard wasn't just in the video. Finally, I got the courage to get up. I closed my window and woke up my mom, who I still live with. And she went around the house with me, turning on all the outside lights and seeing if there was anyone in our yard. There was nothing. I keep thinking about how if I hadn't laid there paralyzed with fear, I would have been able to see whoever or whatever it was. The next night I slept with my window open again, stupid. I know, and I had the most vivid dream I have ever had. In it, I was watching myself sleep. But outside the window staring in at me was the extremely pale face. It looked almost human, but not quite. I ended up jolting awake completely terrified, and slamming my window shut and closing the shade. But I just kept having the dream over and over again for the next few days. Over the next few weeks, I kept hearing weird noises in the woods in broad daylight as well as late at night. It sounded like something was hitting branches with a stick. Even my dog heard it, and was running around the yard barking up a storm in an attempt to defend his house. Fast forward to yesterday, my brother was home alone around 9 p.m. He went to let our dog outside, but when he got out onto our indoor porch, he saw something in the yard. The only light in the backyard was coming from the light inside the house. It illuminated a tall humanoid figure, maybe around 7 feet. In the yard, standing about 15 feet away from the house, right in front of our fire pit. It had no clothes on, was incredibly skinny, and it apparently was so pale that it appeared to glow in the light. Thankfully, he did not let our dog out and went inside, locking the doors and shutting the windows, waiting for our mom to get home. I know that he could just be lying, but when our mom got home, he was absolutely terrified, and basically just hid in the living room until she got there. I've known him his whole life, and he has never lied about something like this, and is in fact a horrible liar. So I'm confident he is telling the truth. I'm currently sitting out on my indoor porch at around 8 p.m. typing this, waiting to see if I can spot it, or at least hear something. I'm honestly debating on whether or not I should sleep out here. I did a little reading beforehand on some creatures, and came across this subreddit for crawlers. When my brother described it, he said it was standing completely upright. He didn't see it walk or crawl in any way. Could it still be a crawler? Are we in any danger? And is it possible that it is somehow connected to the paranormal stuff that has been happening in our house? Update. About 3 or 4 days after I posted the original post, my brother saw the creature again. I was home, but I was in the middle of a long nap in my room, so it was just my brother and my mom. It was probably around 8 p.m. and my mom was in the living room on the phone, and my brother was just watching TV beside her. Our dog was outside and started barking at something, and keep in mind that he always does this. He'll bark at any living creature he sees on our property or walking in front of the house on the road. So neither of them thought anything about it. My brother got up to let him in and walked onto our indoor porch, and looked out to see what our dog was barking at. He saw the creature again, about 10 feet from where he saw it originally, staring at the house again. He ran back to the living room to get our mom, who came out to look. By the time they got to the porch, the creature was just gone. The reason I didn't post this originally was because I'm not convinced. Originally, I was. But after my brother saw it the second time, he started saying that he's scared, he's just hallucinating, and his mind or eyes were just playing tricks on him. Especially since when he got my mom, the creature had disappeared within that 15 seconds without even the smallest trace. So because he was starting to be convinced it was just a trick his eyes played on him, I stopped believing that he actually saw a crawler. I just kind of stopped caring. As to why I decided to post it now, it's kinda a weird story. My one class for yesterday was cancelled, so I spent the whole day just lounging around. I completely forgot about making myself dinner, so it was about 11:45 p.m. when I remembered. I was just quickly making some chili when my mom got up to let my dog outside. It had been downpouring all day because of leftover parts of a long-gone hurricane that made its way up to us. So my dog had only gone outside twice during the day because he's terrified of rain. My mom went back to bed and left me to let him in when he's done. I finished making my dinner about 10 minutes later and decided to go call him to have him come back inside. Once I called him, I heard something big move in the woods as if it reacted to my voice. Immediately after that, my dog came charging from the other side of the yard and proceeded to lose his shit over whatever was hidden in the trees. I kept calling him, but he would not stop barking and growling no matter what. I even shouted out some of his favorite phrases, but he didn't react to any of them at all, which was super strange because he always does, no matter how distracted he is. This went on for a few minutes, and it got to the point where my mom and my sister came out so we could all try to call him back inside. We didn't want him to wake up the entire neighborhood. Now, I don't know if I'm brave, or just literally the stupidest person alive, but I decided to just go out into our woodsy backyard barefoot in the middle of the night to force him to come inside. It was about 40 degrees F outside, and I was literally only wearing a sports bra and shorts. I was pissed off and just wanted to eat my goddamn chili. I went outside and walked down the steps from the indoor porch, and I was about 10 feet into the yard when I heard whatever it was move in the woods again in response to me walking into the yard. I literally froze for a few seconds, and I heard my sister from above me on the porch go, "What the F was that?" I didn't really care when I heard it move when I was on the porch, but hearing it maybe not even 30 feet from me when there aren't any walls around me, scared the shit out of me. Regardless, I started walking again towards my dog to put his leash on him. But as soon as he saw the leash in my hand, he ran all the way back to the porch, leaving me alone in the dark. Needless to say, I have never ran faster in my life. I got back to the porch, let my dog in, everyone went back to bed, and I finally ate my chili, the only good part of the story. Now, I know there's no guarantee that it was whatever my brother saw or thinks he saw. After all, I'm still not fully convinced it even exists, but the entire situation was very strange. We live in the middle of the woods, we're used to wildlife being around our house, and my dog always barks at any living thing he sees or hears near the house. However, literally every single time he barks at them, we always hear them running away in the woods to get away from him. From tiny bunnies to a grown-ass bear, it's always the same. But whatever was in the woods tonight, obviously did not care about my dog barking and growling and charging around the yard. It just seemed to move around anytime something new happened, like me calling for my dog or me going out into the yard. It seemed like it was just watching. Also, my dog has a very specific bark. It can be annoying as hell, but it's always the same. Whenever he sees or hears something near or on our property, it's almost as if he's yelling, "Hey, get out of here." But he doesn't sound angry at all. I've even seen him charge at a full-grown male deer 3 times his size, and his bark was just the same old, "Get off my lawn." But tonight, when he was barking at whatever was in the woods, he sounded so angry and vicious. I don't think I've ever heard him bark or growl like that. I was actually shocked. Anyways, that's basically it. That happened basically exactly 24 hours ago now. As for the paranormal stuff in my house that I mentioned in the original post, it's been about the same. Just small things have been happening along with knocks on walls. It's not threatening at all, and I'll probably make a post about in the paranormal subreddit eventually because it's actually super interesting. Also, don't bother asking about trail cams. I've gotten multiple private messages about them. I know that we should probably get them, but no one in my house wants to pay for them. And as a broke college student, I'd prefer not to spend money right now. I've gotten messages about people mailing me their old cams, but I'd rather not send out my address. I appreciate the thought though. In 2017, I was backpacking with my brother in the mountains of West Virginia. To get to our destination, we had to drive for about 2 hours up a very long and deep ditched road. After reaching the mountain, we got all of the gear out of the car and started our hour-long hike into the woods. Our destination was at the edge of a small lake. Behind us was the long path back to the car, which was covered by fallen trees and thick brush. The area was surrounded by high jagged cliffs. After about an hour of resting, we set up camp and started a fire. We proceeded to cook as the sun set over the large rock walls across the lake from us. Just after the sun went down, the strangeness began. Every half hour or so, my brother would hear what he said were soft footsteps coming from the trail behind us. I was really tired and kept blowing it off as a joke. However, as the night passed on, he refused to stop talking about what he was hearing. I told him to shut up because I was tired of hearing it. At around 11 p.m., the situation became more bizarre. I had nodded off, with my head propped on a log. Then suddenly, a large crash could be heard from across the lake. My brother and I both got to our feet and grabbed our shotgun and 44 mag, and walked to the edge of the lake to see if we could spot what had made the noise. After a minute of staring into the pitch black night, we decided to go back and lay down. We both thought that it must have been a loose boulder that had fallen off the face of the ridge. That was until my brother told me to stop in an abrupt whisper. "Look there," he said, pointing towards the ridge to our left. It was then that I realized my brother really was hearing things all night long. About 100 yards away from us, in the tree line, was a figure that looked to be at least 10 feet tall with glowing golden eyes. Paralyzed with fear, my brother and I watched as the large figure swayed back and forth, never taking his eyes off of us. "Let's get the hell out of here," my brother yelled while shooting a round from his 44 mag into the lake. At this point, the figure stopped and stared. Its eyes seemed to get larger and brighter. Then, just as quick, the eyes were gone. We immediately started stoking the fire as fast as we could. Not knowing if the figure would return, we decided to stay up all night, taking turns adding logs to the fire. After an hour or so, we heard a faint rustling in the brush. The rustling then stopped, when all of a sudden this thing roared out the most terrible scream that I had ever heard. We grabbed our guns and gear. It was time to leave. We both started to sprint into the darkness with our lights turned off. We ran into the woods for at least 10 minutes, until the two of us were out of breath and stopped. We turned on our lights to find the path and listened for the creature. It was moving towards us. We could hear the pounding of footsteps and branches snapping. This time the light stayed on as we ran non-stop, tripping over obstacles, until we reached the car. The two of us threw our gear into the vehicle and locked the doors behind us. My brother was shaking from fear and fumbling with the keys. Just as he got the keys into the ignition, a loud scream from the creature blasted from the darkness. He started the car and gunned it. I don't know WTF that thing was. All I can say is that I will never return to those woods to find out. My story takes place back in the winter of 2009. I was 15 years old at the time and living outside of Green Bay, Wisconsin. There were these woods by my house that my friends and I used to spend a lot of time in. These woods were massive. If you didn't know your way around, it would be easy to get lost in them. But it was at this point in my teen years when most of my friends lost interest in spending time in the woods. But I, on the other hand, always enjoyed being in nature. And as a result, I was spending a lot of time by myself in these woods. If I remember correctly, it was a cold and dreary day in February. I was walking through the woods, listening to my MP3 player, and smoking a cigarette. But then out of nowhere, I noticed something moving around in the distance. At first, I thought it was maybe a deer or some sort of animal. But then as I took a closer look, I noticed it wasn't an animal. It was a person. Now, one thing I should mention is that these woods were well known for being isolated and vastly empty, void of all humans. Aside from my friends and I, not once did I ever encounter another human being in the area. Instead of running away, turning around, or walking in the opposite direction, for whatever reason, I wasn't afraid and decided to approach this random mysterious person. I took off my headphones and shouted, "Hey you!" What would happen next would shock me to the core. I came face to face with the creepiest old lady I've ever seen in my life. She had thick, wild, and frizzy gray hair. She was wearing what looked like a brown coat, along with a dark blue dress underneath. And along with that, she was wearing what looked like sandals. The weather outside was far too cold for sandals. I immediately got a bad vibe from her. I took a few steps back. Nervously, for whatever reason, I said, "Oh hey, I was just passing through." I honestly didn't know what else to say. This lady had the most frightening face I've ever seen. I'm not trying to sound mean, but she looked like some sort of demon. Her eyes were wide open and bulging out of her head. She looked like she was high on meth or something. She then began aggressively sprinting towards me and yelling in a somewhat creature-like manner. For an old lady, she certainly had some impressive running abilities. I began running as fast as I possibly could in the opposite direction. But surprisingly, she managed to keep up with me. And trust me, at age 15, I was a super fast runner. Then, for whatever reason, I randomly decided to climb up a tree to get away from her. I climbed up the tree as high as I possibly could. Down below, this creepy old lady attempted to climb up the tree, but failed to do so. I screamed at her, saying things like, "What do you want? Leave me alone." I really didn't know what to do. I and this old lady proceeded to stare at each other for about an hour. She had a terrifying look in her eyes as if she was possessed. I'll never forget that look. She looked like she wanted to kill me. She kept making strange sounds, and I noticed that most of her teeth looked rotten, and many were missing. But then, out of nowhere, there was a noise in some nearby bushes, and she went aggressively running towards it. Her behavior was almost zombie-like. But this gave me a chance to run away. I climbed down out of the tree, ran as fast as I could out of the woods, and returned home. The next day, I told my friends about what had happened, but they didn't believe me. We went searching for the lady, but couldn't find her. What baffled me was, what was an old lady doing in the middle of the woods? Where did she come from? Why was she running after me? What happened to her? To this day, there are still so many unanswered questions. But even to this very day, I can still see her face in my mind. Her face actually haunts me. And that encounter is what created my fear of creepy old ladies. Back in February, I saw what looked like a large monkey about 7 feet tall or so. And I was able to call the zoo and give a description of them on the tape. And I was trying to get the Department of Natural Resources for the state to warn them that this thing was running around. It was around for a couple of hours that night. This was in the downtown area, believe it or not. But this was kinda like a wilderness area near the river. In Florida, in Miami. I didn't smell anything. I eventually got within 20 feet of the thing and tried to get a picture. Like you said, my camera failed and wouldn't work. I just couldn't get a picture. I couldn't get it with my cell phone either, and the strangest thing of the entire night. I don't even like to tell this to people because it sounds like I'm crazy. But at the end of that night, that thing was joined by an owl. An owl showed up. It had what looked like the face of a man on it. And I've had nightmares about that since. I couldn't believe I saw something that way, but I did. I wish I could have gotten that on film. And they both more or less went toward the ground, and they both just dissolved. It was like they both just evaporated, and I couldn't believe I saw that. I had 2 cups of coffee at the beginning of the night, so I knew I was well aware of what was going on. I am a 58-year-old white female. I have been an abductee all my life, as my mother was. I have decided to finally tell my stories, too many to list here. I do have some very pertinent information, that to the best of my knowledge, no one has ever stated in any reports I have ever read. The abduction of my husband was as follows. I have never had a memory of him ever being abducted. We live in Gaylord, Michigan. In November of 2014 at approximately 2:53 a.m. I was in bed at the foot of the bed facing a sliding glass door, when I awoke to a presence. I lay in bed and observed a 30-foot disc-like object that appeared to be vertical, so I could observe the undercarriage of the object. I observed, I believe, at least 3 circular rows of lights, most outer edge being red, the inner circle being white, and the center row being green. It is so strange, but I scooted over to one side of the bed so they wouldn't see me. Fell back to sleep for reasons I don't understand. But this will happen to me like they have total control over my reactions or behaviors. The next thing I remember is I could hear my dog running from the side of the bed. It startled me as it awoke me with her running and her nails clicking on the hardwood floor. I remember running down the hall and yelling her name. She would normally come to me. As I approached the end of the hall and turned to go into the living room, which was to the right, I saw her sitting and staring at the front door. It has frosted glass, and I could see red and green blinking lights. I squatted down and checked to see if she was breathing, calling her name. Her ears were perked up, and she had no knowledge of my presence. I can remember saying aloud, "Okay, she is alive." Then the lights stopped blinking, and she was back out of her trance. I went to the chair where my husband had been sleeping, and he was not there. I looked out the sliding glass door in the front, and I saw what they had planted in my mind. I said, "Oh, it's okay, there are just cars parked in front, so the people can go into church. They are very clever to plant images, so they can control you." I then started to walk into the kitchen when I came face to face with a 4-foot-tall white-colored entity, and a 5-foot-tall gray. I poked the white entity, and stated, "What did you do to my dog?" Then when I realized I poked him, my fingernail went into his skin. I then drew my finger back, looked at my nail, and stated, "I'm sorry, I didn't mean to hurt you." My husband and I moved into the house we currently live in a little over 4 years ago. We live on Long Island, New York, in a very old colonial house built in 1907. Ever since moving in, we've experienced some very strange things. The first experience still freaks me out to this day. I left work early as I was sick with a cold. I went straight upstairs to our bedroom to take a nap. After lying in bed for a few short minutes, I heard the sound of someone coming up the stairs. Clear as day footsteps on each step. Now, our staircase has 2 sets of stairs with a landing in between. So the entity made its way slowly up the first set, paused for a moment, then the second set. Our bedroom door sits at the top of the stairs. Whatever it was, it just stopped right at our door. I rationalized it as my husband coming home from work, but it didn't make sense as he wouldn't be due to come home for another hour and a half. And in my heart, I knew it wasn't him. I genuinely got such a scared feeling my entire body stiffened up and all of my senses heightened. Later when my husband did come home, I asked him if he came home early, and then maybe went downstairs again, and told him what I heard. He said that no, he just got home. But he didn't quite believe me. Well, about a month later he experienced the same thing. He was home from work alone, and laid down to take a nap when he heard footsteps coming up the stairs. He then started believing we weren't alone in the house. We had our baby, a boy, in 2021, and one night I was up breastfeeding him. I used to go downstairs to our living room so my husband could sleep as he went back to work after paternity leave. So I'm sitting on my big comfy armchair, snuggling our newborn who fell asleep in my arms, when I suddenly hear footsteps upstairs. Clear as day, footsteps in our upstairs hallway. I freeze and listen carefully, knowing that I didn't hear our bedroom door open, so it couldn't be my husband. Oddly enough, about 10 minutes later my husband does get up to use the bathroom, and I call up to him and ask if he was up before. To which he said no, he just got up then to go to the bathroom. I was so creeped out I refused to breastfeed downstairs anymore, and only did it in our bedroom from then on. The last big thing that happened was my mom, who lives out of state, was coming to visit and babysat for us to give us our first official date night out since having our son. We got home after dinner and my mom looked horrified. She said that she was sitting in the rocking chair while my son was asleep in her arms when suddenly she heard footsteps outside the bedroom door, and then 3 loud bangs against it like someone was banging their fist against it angrily. She said she jumped right up and opened the door to check, but no one was there. She anxiously awaited our arrival back, and has been afraid to stay with us ever since. Since then, we've experienced little things here and there, but it seems the activity has died down. My son is older now and has told us that the walls in his room talk to him, which creeped us out, but we chalked it up to overactive toddler imagination. I'm honestly glad that nothing has really happened since then, as it sincerely freaks me out, and I don't want my son getting scared either. Edit. I also wanted to add one more thing, that may or may not be related to what we have already experienced. One day a few months ago, we were eating dinner with my son, and out of nowhere he tells us, "I played with Grandpa yesterday." So we assumed he meant my dad, as my husband's father unfortunately passed away several years ago. When I asked him what he meant because we haven't seen my dad in a while, he said, "No, not that grandpa. My other grandpa." My husband and I looked at each other and asked him what this grandpa looked like. He said, "He looks like a girl with long hair and he had wings and flew up into the sky." My husband's dad was a musician and had long hair all of his life. I shit you not, we were so freaked out, but also relieved. Like, maybe this ghost was his grandpa looking out for us. I'm not sure, but it was one of the craziest things to happen. I was 11 years old when this happened, currently 24, visiting my dad and stepmom over the summer in Saskatchewan, Canada. My dad worked long days during the week, so on her day off, he had planned for my stepmom to take my sister 8 at the time and me out for a day to get some bonding time in with us, as we didn't know her super well yet. She took us to get our nails done, to the mall, and on the way home, we stopped at a McDonald's. We planned on eating inside the restaurant, but it was very busy, so my stepmom asked my sister and me to find a table and wait there, while she went to the counter to order our food. I noticed this rough, older-looking woman, possibly in her 60s or 70s, looking towards the direction of the table where my sister and I were seated. All I could remember is thinking she looked like a drugged-out Susan Boyle. She looked possibly homeless and addicted, so I didn't give her much thought, letting her do her own thing while I tried to talk to my sister about random stuff. Once my stepmom came back to the table, this woman was seemingly already approaching us, and then stopped beside us. She just said hello, so we all kinda said hi back and tried to ignore her. She asked if we were my stepmom's daughters, so my stepmom said, "They're my stepdaughters," trying to be simple to kinda shut her down. The lady said we were beautiful girls and began to walk towards the door. She stopped one last time and asked, "How old are they?" We had the impression she was on her way out, so my stepmom just said to her, "11 and 8. Her eyes lit up, and she looked at me with a strange look. "I've always wanted an 11-year-old. I'd buy her from you." That definitely crossed a line. So my stepmom finally told her we were trying to eat lunch and asked her what she was even saying in a somewhat aggressive tone. The lady got one last look at me, and then she finally left. She definitely didn't have the money to buy me, even if I were for sale anyway, lol, so I wasn't worried. I think she was possibly on some drugs and not in the right mind. But knowing my shy self at 11, I wouldn't have known how to get rid of this lady if she tried to talk to us without my stepmom there. We weren't super close then, but I respected her a lot after that day for being ready to protect us even in a minor situation like that. My auntie owns a local diner in the middle of a small town where everyone knows everyone. Recently, she had almost half of her waiters quit within a month, which she knew about, but didn't tell me why when telling my mom this, and I overheard it while doing homework at the dining table. Then she asked my mom if my two older sisters could help out. But my mom said that the oldest is moving out of town to live with her fiancé, but agreed to let my second older sister work. Then my auntie asked about me. Mind you, I'm a 15-year-old girl, and the last thing on my mind to do after school is going to work, even for a few hours. Even if I find time to get home in the evening and finish my homework, I still wouldn't like the idea at all. My mom was quiet for a little before agreeing, since even I know that money is a touchy subject. Ever since my dad divorced my mom, I was chosen to stay with my mom 100%, because my dad is an alcoholic, and often liked to hurt my mom, and have done some nasty things to my sisters and I. I don't know where he is now, probably in jail, or married to another poor woman who will be his next victim. But that's partially the reason why we are struggling when it comes to money. Fast forward a week. I went to school on a Wednesday morning like normal, except I had to pack a set of extra clothes in my already stuffed backpack. My aunt talked to me and told me I have to wear a uniform, and she doesn't want my mom to know what I wear, so she wants me to put it into my backpack instead of going to school in it. She even said she can wash it every week since it'll probably smell like eggs and other diner foods. I usually take the bus to school, so days that I work, I would take another bus that dropped me off about a 2-minute walk from the diner. The bus drivers really didn't care about if we got off on unusual stops, or maybe they had no idea and were just working for a paycheck, much like I'm about to do. And each end of my shift, my auntie will drop me off back home, after I changed back of course. Once at the diner, I would go to the back, through the kitchen, which had two chefs who worked harder than any cook I've ever seen, and right to my auntie's office. There I could see her computer on a desk, a whole lot of paperwork, clothes all around, and just a total mess. So my outfit is basically a button-down white t-shirt, a white mini skirt, and one of those tiny aprons that only cover from waist to crotch area. I kind of like the way this fits on me, but the fact that I'm wearing all white means I'm going to get dirty, maybe every night. My sister has a similar outfit, but her skirt is longer since she sometimes does shave her legs or something. I just know that I don't have the same issues she has. The first night went well. I got a lot of people looking at me funny and asked if I'm a kid, to which I told them my age, and some of them were upset a kid is working. Some were happy that they think I'm trying to help the family business, and some were just weird and happy to just see me. Whatever the reason it was, I just like talking to people. So this was super easy, plus most of them didn't mind if I would bring out one plate at a time, instead of like 5 or 6 like pro waitresses. Friday night comes around, and this is the night I finally meet the guy, who's one of the main reasons why those other waitresses quit. My auntie really wanted me to meet him since he's in about 3 or 4 times a week and orders a good portion. His name was Larry, and he seems really nice and friendly. He even treated me more like a friend than a waitress, and would have me sit down with him, while he told me stories about how he fixed cars, travels for work, eats at every restaurant ever, and stayed at every hotel in the world. I never told him my age, but I'm pretty sure he can tell I'm a minor. Often enough, he sits at a booth in the corner of the restaurant, and would ask me to sit beside his, so he could kick his feet up on the other side bench, which I didn't mind. But it only started to get weird when he would poke one of the buttons hidden from my apron, and think it's my belly button, and ask if I had an outai belly button, and if I'm ticklish. I do in fact have an outai belly button, but I didn't tell him that. I would just fake a giggle. Sometimes I would feel his hand brush up on my chest, which I don't care much of either. But there was a few times I felt like he was feeling my chest for my nipple, which I still don't know why he would want to see them since my chest is still pretty flat again. I'm 15, I know it'll grow. Sometimes he grabbed my arm or thigh and give me massages, which really don't feel good. And if I tell him I don't like it, he just tells me it'll start to like it. Usually after every visit from Larry, I would make up a dozen excuses that I needed to go before he would accept and let me go. I didn't mind anything weird about Larry. He seems innocent enough, like a grandpa who just wants to spend time with his grandkids, but I really wish I wasn't chosen to babysit him every time he comes here. And since he spends like $100 a week here, my auntie tells me to just ignore and let him ramble on since he's the reason this business is still afloat. Which are my auntie's words, and I'm pretty sure $100 a week cannot cover rent alone. After about a week of seeing Larry almost most of my shift, he came in with his laptop and showed me his Facebook and told me to look myself up so we can be friends. I seriously don't want Larry in my life 24/7, so I just lied and told him I never made a Facebook. He simply laughed, thought for a second, and wrote my whole name out in the search bar. For a second, I was so shocked that I turned pale, even for my light skin. I had a name tag, but only my first name. But my stupid sister probably told him our last name when he asked. She may be older, but she doesn't act like it. He found a picture of me and sent it afar, to which my phone goes off, making Larry laugh and my heart drop into my stomach. He sent me a few messages just to hear my phone go off a few times as I pulled it out and fake laughed before swallowing the throw up in my mouth. He then proceeds to go through my gallery, which my FB is public since I was pretty stupid enough to want to make as many friends as possible, much like Instagram, and try to gain as many followers. He founds pics of me that I wish he wouldn't find and could comment on how my clothes are too revealing and I should take these pics down. He commented on my friends and how he could find me a good set of friends to be with, to which I had no idea who he's referring to since he told me before he's since no kids and lives alone. Then even seeing pics of me with my belly button revealed and comment on my outie belly button and poke my belly again. I could really feel his finger trying to find my belly button again, which just felt so disgusting that I just got up without a reason this time, and just stormed to my auntie's office. I confessed everything to her and told her how disgusted I am, and at first she seemed to be on my side. But when I explained the things he did to me, she quickly changed sides and told me I'm just over exaggerating, and he's just treating me like a kid in a friendly way. I wanted to burst out crying and asked my sister for help, even wanting to talk to mom about this and confess it all. But my sister calmed me down and told me how auntie would have to let us go. Then he wouldn't have enough money to keep our apartment, and then we'll have to live with dad. I had no idea if this were true, but the things my dad did to me are in fact worse than what Larry had done so far. Fast forward a few months to present day. I still work at the diner and still see Larry on an almost daily basis. He still acts the same and once in a while touches me. But it's gotten to the point that it's nothing too concerning, like my chest or thigh, which I still don't care about too much. I only care when he tries to touch my belly button or nipple. I know that for summer, mom will make me work, and because of my age, I legally can't find a job anywhere else. I'm pretty much okay if I have to keep working for summer. The only good thing about Larry is that he would often order twice in one sitting, which made Auntie very happy, and I would get a good tip because of it. I guess if you have advice, then I'll take it. But I don't think getting rid of Larry will be of my best interest since I've read too many creepy stories of stalker situations, and trying to escape the creep only makes things worse. But also Auntie probably would fire me, and mom would be upset. If I reveal all of this to mom, this would only make our family situation much worse since my mom relies on auntie way too much. But either way, it feels good to share this. I feel like just talking about it makes me feel better, and reading other stories makes me feel like I'm not alone, and maybe I'll find help in the best way. I might be in this situation for a while, but sharing it relieves some of the stress. Thanks again for listening. If I have any updates, I will post them here.